Well, I appreciate you today. Let's open our Bibles to Matthew 11. This week, Deb and I, we got the great privilege of being Noni and Pops to one of our grandkids. And here was our takeaway. Our takeaway was this. This is a young man's game. Raising kids is a young man's game. How many of you know that? So I'm more familiar now with Peppa the Pig and Paw Patrol. I'm pretty versed on that. But one of the things that happened is, by the way, there's stuff everywhere. Right? There's toys and fingerprints and spit and all kinds of stuff everywhere. And I told my wife, I said toward the end, I said, "Hey, Deb, when Gia leaves, I'll help you pick up. I'll help you clean up." And she looked at me like what did you just say? And I said, "Well, when Gia leaves, I'll help you pick up." Well, she thought I said, "When Gia leaves, I hope you pick up." So just to encourage you, if you have any challenges in your relationship, make sure you hear what's being said, right? Make sure you hear what's being said, which segues us right into this morning. Make sure you hear what's being said. How many of you want to hear what the Lord has to say to you today? I know I do too. So Father, we want that. We want to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches today and to Emmanuel. And to be able to hear, Lord, it means that we, for at least this moment, we don't want to be distracted. We don't want to be mindful of things that are not, maybe they're okay, but they're not productive in this moment. So help us, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord, I pray that what we hear, that we will do. We want to obey your word. We want to follow you. We want to do what you say. And we love you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So today, I'm going to start a three-part series. And I've been working on this for a while, these three messages. And they all kind of fit together. And they all have to do with surrender and sacrifice. So I know those two words aren't maybe the most popular words, but I think what we'll discover through this process is that God gives us the ability to not just surrender our lives to Him, but to live a life of sacrifice. And there's a great privilege with that as well when we do that. So we're going to be talking about a yoke, we're going to be talking about a cross, and we're going to be talking about a plow. A yoke, a cross, and a plow. And when we talk about the yoke, it's only this actual passage that we're going to read in Matthew 11 is only found in Matthew's gospel. And so let's pick up in verse 28 and read this together. It says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy to bear, and the burden that I give you is light.'" And so what a great promise that we have today, that God promises us rest for our souls. How many of you need rest? You need rest. Maybe you're weary. Maybe you've been carrying a heavy burden, and you've been carrying a heavy burden for a long time. Or maybe you're overdue for a reprieve from all the things that you've been carrying in your life in these moments and maybe even in this season. So in this message today, there's some information I'm going to quote from Brian Bell and his commentary, and also Pastor Chuck Smith, who's went on to be with the Lord, and then also Rick Renner in his Sparkling Gems Volume 1. So I want to make sure that I cite those sources today of some of the information that I'm going to give you. But listen to what this says as we begin. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." So that's an invitation, isn't it? And it's almost, if you look at it, it's almost a summons, you know, like we're being summoned. And we're being invited to come to a place of rest and reprieve and refreshment. And the fortunate thing is that he says, "Come to me, all of you." So that's a great inclusion for everybody, not just that are here, but to anybody who will receive that invitation. And I think what Jesus is really focusing on here, he's talking about those who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I think initially he's talking about the the Jewish people that were under this heavy burden of legality, of rules and regulations. So we have the Ten Commandments, but maybe what you don't know is in addition to the Ten Commandments, they followed, or they had to try to follow, 613 other commandments that are related, spinoffs, if you were, or offshoots of the Ten Commandments. And out of those 613, you had a whole intricate web of rules and regulations on what they were supposed to do. And it was very, very arduous and very, very tedious, and basically it was impossible. You could never do what the law required you to do in this culture. And Jesus shows up and dismantles and refutes a lot of those things that the religious system tried to put on the people of God. And how he combats that and how he comes against that is this promise that he makes: come to me, you who are weary and are tired of carrying all this heavy burden of this religious system that is, A, it's not effective, and B, it's impossible to do. Does that make sense? And so that's the context of what he was trying to get across. And so it's the summons of those who are hurting and those who are burdened to come to Jesus. But the great thing about it is, notice what it says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened. And the all is everyone. Everyone. Every one of us are invited. This isn't, in a sense, an exclusive club, you know, that you have to have membership to in that way. But it's an invitation for everybody. And what that means is that nobody has to be left out, and everybody can be included. Isn't that great? But not everybody takes that invitation. Not everybody adheres to that summons or goes along with that. Isaiah 10:27 says this: in that day the Lord will end the bondage of his people, and he will break the yoke of slavery and lift it from their shoulders. Of course, I think that's talking about a different type of yoke, and that's the yoke of sin and slavery that wants to bind us and cause us to be subservient to that and lay our lives down for it. We were never meant to bear that yoke. We were never meant to carry that burden. We were never meant to stay weary and tired and burdensome all the time. That's not what we're here to do. We're here to be free and to be who God's called us to be. And the inclusion is that anybody who will receive it, anybody who he calls, can come unto him. And that's a great thing. And I don't know about you, but I think what blows me away is that not everybody does it. Not everybody takes the invitation. You don't even have to RSVP. You can just show up. Isn't that great? And yet so few people take that opportunity to come to Jesus and let him help them bear the load of life. Wouldn't you agree that life is becoming more complicated and more stressful and more burdensome? Are you more weary than you were 20 years ago or 10 years ago or even maybe last week? Are things more complicated, more stressful than they were 10 years ago? Would you agree with that? Would you agree that the life that we're living is becoming more and more like that? So what we realize is that if it was like that, then we can know and be assured that it's only going to get worse and worse the further and the closer we get down the road. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, that's the assumption. Is that if it was like that then, and it's like this now, then it's going to be maybe even more challenging as we move ahead. But that's why we need to do what he tells us to do. Come to me. Listen to what he's saying. Take the invitation. Take the gift that he wants to give us and come to him and let him help us bear the burden of life. Jesus said this in John 6:35. He said, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never thirst. And then, of course, Revelation 3:20 says this: look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and you and we will share a meal together as friends. I mean, the unfortunate thing about life is that few people take that invitation and take it seriously. Not everybody does that. And you know what our responsibility is as believers in Jesus Christ? We're supposed to help people get to the banquet. That's what we're supposed to do. We're not only are we invited, but we want to go and bring as many people to the banquet as we can. And if they won't listen to his invitation, then hopefully they might listen to our invitation that we give on his behalf. How many of you are open to that? To saying, Lord, I want to help people get to the banquet. I want to help people have their burden lifted off their life. And to help them live meaningful, fruitful, productive, joyful, blessed lives. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're called to do. All of us can do that, and all of us can contribute in that way. So, what's the need? First part says this, those who are weary. To be weary is somebody who works hard, feels the fatigue of life, and labors so much so that they're worn out and they have no more left to give. Have you ever worked so hard that when you went to bed that you couldn't sleep because you hurt so bad because you worked so hard? Any of you have ever had that where it was hard to fall asleep because you pushed yourself so hard? And all of us can relate to doing that from time to time, or as younger, when we were in our younger age or younger days, we're able to push like that, and then the next day get up and do it again, and the next day get up and do it again. But how many of you know or can relate to that the older you get, it's harder to recover? It's harder to regroup, isn't it? Because we become weary. Rick Renner says this. He says, this is a person that has given everything they can to a project or an assignment with every fiber of their being. It describes people who have been laboring under a heavy load without a break or without a pause for a long time. It's where you become wearisome, exhausted, and where the situation or the circumstance, or it may be a grouping of several things, it becomes unending. What I've discovered is that there are a lot of people that are carrying heavy burdens in life. And if you just stop and talk to people for any amount of time and you really get to hear their stories, it is really sad to hear some of the things that people are carrying. And some of you are carrying some really, really tough burdens. And you've been carrying them for a long time. And you become weary because of that. You become just weighed down with the things of life and the stress of that and the hardship that's associated with that. Many of you can have experienced that. And those burdens, it's almost like it's defined as like a pack that you're carrying. It's a military phrase. And if you go on maneuvers or you're being deployed, you see soldiers, sailors, or whoever, and they're being deployed, Marines, they have all the gear that they have that they're going to need for that assignment or that deployment. And so if they plan correctly, nothing's left out. But they got to carry that. You know, they got to carry that with them all through the assignment and all through the deployment or the battle. And many of us have been tasked with a great weight to carry through life. And it's become too much for us to bear. It's become too much for us to handle. Brian Bell says this. He says that the weight could be the weariness. And I think we all can find ourselves in one of these characteristics. It could be weariness. It could be disappointment. It could be despair. It could be discouragement. It could be a sin or something that you're struggling with. It could be the guilt or the remorse that comes from that. It could be fear. It could be fear of death. It could be sorrow or poverty or oppression or people talking about you, slander. It could be just a greed or ambition or even divorce, relationship tension, relationship problems, temptation, conflict, depression, sickness, or it could be just toxicity that's floating around in your mind. You know, unwelcome thoughts that are there that have become squatters. You know, they're unwelcome guests. and they don't belong there. And many times we're weighed down and burdened by that. You know, one of my sons, he redoes properties and is in, he works with an investor that does this. And many times this guy will buy, you know, four properties in a month, and he'll have to manage that. And they'll buy them sometimes. They won't even look at them. They just buy them. And when my son goes in to begin the process, sometimes there's people that are there that are living there that don't belong there. And they're called squatters. And so you have to deal with that and work with that. Many of us in life have unwelcome guests that are in our minds, and they don't belong there. And yet they've been allowed to stay there, and they're staying there rent-free. Like, they're not paying anything, you guys, and they're not helpful. They're not contributing to the cause. All they're doing is taking from you, and it's going to cause problems if you let them stay there. And so don't let toxicity, don't let things that people have said to you, or maybe even ruminating, mulling over and over again, playing out an event that happened that doesn't even make any difference, that people don't even, listen, people aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are. Now that's going to help somebody today. I'm going to say it again. People aren't thinking about you as much as you think they are. Most of the time, people don't really even care. And the reason, you know why they don't care? They don't care because they're not uncaring or unloving. They don't care because they're trying to figure out their own stuff. Does that make sense? So let's get rid of those unwelcome thoughts. But what's the promise? I will give you rest. Isn't that great? I will give you rest. Now, he says it how many times in that passage? We start in verse 28, and we go all the way down to verse 30, and how many times does he say it in that passage? I will give you rest. Maybe this will help you a little bit for those of you Bible scholars. How many times does he say it? Huh? How many? Okay. Two, right? So that's a little helpful hint for you today. He says it twice, which once is enough. I'll give you rest. If Jesus says something once, how many of you know it's enough? But what if Jesus says something twice? Wow, that's double. That's double, isn't it? So the reason we call that the law of double mention, and whenever you see something like that in a passage of Scripture, it is meant to reiterate or enhance what has been said. The truth is enough, of course, but when the truth is reiterated and said again, it is meant to bring about emphasis about that particular topic or subject. So when Jesus says, I will give you rest, and he says he'll give you rest twice, that means that you can take it to the bank. Amen? So the promise, rest, relax, calmness, comfort, refreshing. There is a place inside of Jesus that we can find those things. And it's a rest from conscience. It's a rest from your mind spinning. It's a rest from your heart going all sorts of different directions. It's a rest from your energies spinning your tires. It's a rest from apprehensions. And the promised rest means that he's not going to remove it, that it's there for us. And it's an invitation for us to come to him. Chuck Smith said this. He said, what the Lord is really saying is that you will never really know true rest until you know God. There's no true rest outside of Jesus Christ, you guys. You may try to find it in all kinds of different things. You may try to find it in your career, in finances, in resources, in things, in relationships. You can try to find it in all those things, and many of us have tried that. But what we've discovered is that it all falls short of the rest that God wants to give us. So Isaiah 28:12 says, God has told his people, here is a place of rest. Let the weary rest here. This is the place of quiet rest. But the scripture goes on to say, continued in verse 12, it says, but they would not listen. I think that's why Jesus had to say it twice. Well, he didn't have to, but he did say it twice. He said it twice because we don't listen. We don't listen. He tells us that there's a place of rest if we'll come to him, but we don't listen. And the reason we don't listen is because we think we can do it on our own. Or maybe you've succumbed to this train of thought. Well, I don't want to trouble God. I don't want to trouble him with my problems or my life or my weariness or whatever, my burden. Okay, you guys do remember he is God, right? And he is all-knowing, he is all-powerful, and he is omnipresent, he is everywhere. And so if he fulfills those qualities, then me and your our problems to him, he can definitely carry those and help us, can't he? Like, there's not a limit. Like, you can only get so many. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every morning. So there's always more from where that came from. It'll never run out. And there's a scarcity mentality that we apply to our Christianity because we think that there's only so much to go around. But in the kingdom of God, there's abundance and there's more than enough, and there's always a place at the table for you and me. Amen? Psalm 23, 1 through 3 says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need." So it doesn't end there. "He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside the peaceful streams." Sometimes we need to be led to the peaceful streams because we won't get there on our own. We'll get preoccupied or distracted or doing other things. And God says, "Let me lead you beside those peaceful streams," because verse 3 says, "That's where your strength is renewed, and he will guide you along the right paths, bringing honor to his name." And so it's in those places that God has for us where there's refreshing and rest and peace and a reprieve for our souls. In a chaotic, crazy world that we live in, we can find rest for our souls. So what's the condition? Here is the condition to receive that rest. It very simply says, "Take my yoke upon you." So it's almost like an exchange. We're exchanging our yoke that we carry for the yoke that God wants us to get harnessed to, or to hook up to, if you will. So what is a yoke? A yoke is it's generally a piece of wood that ties two animals together so that their strength is combined. So generally, if one animal can do so much work, if you put them together, then it multiplies the effect. It's not just times two, it's actually more than that. When you put two animals together and they learn to work together, it has a tremendous impact on the task that's at hand. And the other thing about it is that it makes these two animals, that they're inseparable. Like, they're connected together. They can't be cut loose, only by the yoke being lifted off of them. That's the only way. And so many times what farmers or agricultural people will do, they will take a mature, generally an ox, and they will pair them with an immature animal or ox so that the immature one will learn from the more mature one. And listen to this. Many times, the immature one, they're not doing anything. The mature one is carrying the whole load because the immature one hasn't learned how to work yet. It hasn't learned how to work together, and it hasn't learned how to mature and grow and develop. So you know where I'm going with this, don't you? When we tether ourselves to Jesus, who does the heavy lifting? Who carries the load? Huh? You see, in the old system, when you carried your own load, and you're weary and burdened, and you had the yoke of slavery and the yoke of bondage on your life, you are carrying that on your own. Nobody helped you carry that. And the devil is a hard taskmaster. He's not going to help you. He's not going to lighten the load on you. He's going to put more and more on you, and you're going to put more and more on yourself because you think you deserve it. But when you and I tether ourselves to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He does the heavy lifting. He's the one that we can tie ourselves to and learn from Him and mature and grow in our faith and allow Him to do all the heavy work and to do the heavy lifting. That's a great promise that we have. And the promise is that we're not alone in the process. We're connected with Him. Isn't that tremendous when you think of it in that sense? That you're not alone. And not just that you're not alone, but he's going to help you. He's going to partner with you in this, in carrying the load that you were never meant to carry on your own. And so it's an exchange. But here's the thing, you guys. It's not accidental. It's predetermined, and it's a premeditated choice that we have to make to come out from under our yoke and to let Him put His yoke on us. Now, let's talk about this from a logical standpoint. How well did you do under your yoke? How well did that work out for you? What did that give you? What was the payoff? I'll tell you what the payoff was. It was hardship, guilt, discouragement, hopelessness. That's what you get when you carry your yoke. But when you slip out from under that yoke and you get tied to Jesus, there's a yoke of fulfillment. There's a yoke of blessing. There's a yoke of prosperity. There's a yoke of healing. There's a yoke of goodness and mercy and favor and every good thing that heaven has. When we get connected with Him and let Him show us and teach us and guide us in life, it will be the most fulfilling thing that you ever experience. Now, we would all sign up for that, wouldn't we? Who would not make that exchange? It doesn't make sense. That's not where we go wrong as believers. You know where we go wrong? We go wrong when we slip out from under that yoke and try to go back to the old way. That's where we go wrong. And we do it unbeknownst to ourselves. We do it because of you could say, muscle memory, or because it was something that we were used to doing for so long. It's mindsets, it's habits, it's all those things that we know we're supposed to stay connected to Jesus, but from time to time, if you're like me, you'll slip out of that yoke, and you'll slip back and fall back into your old way of doing things and your old way of thinking. And that's where Jesus wants to challenge us today. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Do you think that that's just a one-time thing? Or do you think that He is committed to the process all the way to the end? Right? So let's not slip out from under His yoke. Let's allow Him to, let's partner with Him in that process. And when we care about what He cares about, He'll care about what we care about. The yoke God gives you is the right one for you. You're not meant to carry anybody else's yoke. You're only meant to carry what you're supposed to carry in life, connected to Jesus. So He says, let me teach you in that process. And the way He teaches you is by hearing His voice and doing His will. That's how He teaches you. So this week, I called Nathan Knopf because I wanted to buy a car for the church so we could give it away. And I always call Nathan when I'm thinking about vehicles and stuff because he knows a lot more than I do. And we talked it over, and it seemed like it was going to be a good thing. Seemed like it was going to be all right. You know, we were going to help somebody out, and price was right and everything. But I heard the Lord say no. And I didn't want to listen to that voice because I wanted to do this because I thought it was a great deal. And I was going to be helping somebody in the future. I was going to be helping probably Nathan somewhat, indirectly probably. I was going to be helping the person that I'm buying the vehicle from. And it was going to be a win-win. But I heard the Lord say no. You guys, it checked all the boxes. It checked all the boxes, but I heard the Lord say no. Listen to His voice. He knows more than I know, and He knows more than you know. And when we don't listen to His voice, we can get into all kinds of mischief and precarious problems that we could avoid if we would just do what He tells us to do. Amen? But you got to hear His voice, and then you got to act on it. It's one thing to hear it, but it's another thing to act on it. All right? So as we bring this to a conclusion, Jesus says this. What qualifies Jesus to be the one to tell us to do this? The qualification is what 2 Corinthians 5 says in verse 21. God made Christ who never sinned to be an offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And then Isaiah 53 verse 4 says, yet it was our weakness that He carried. It was our sorrows that weighed Him down. The Lord, verse 6, has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What qualifies Jesus to be the one that carries our burdens? Because He's the one that gave His life for you and I. Not just to die, not just to be raised from the dead and to ascend into heaven, but to live inside of you. That's why He came. He came so that His life could be shared with yours. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says, He personally carried our sins in His body on the cross so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. So what's the result? The result is that we find rest for our souls. That's what God has for us. Psalm 116:7 says, let my soul be at rest again. And the Lord has been good to me. Isaiah 40:29, He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. And so this burden that we're trying to carry on our own, we don't have to bear that. We don't have to carry that through life. That there's a better way, and the way's through Jesus. How many of us would say, Pastor, I'm not going to carry that burden. I'm going to give it to Him. If He paid the price for me to not have to carry that burden, what am I doing carrying it? My effort is being, it doesn't even result in good things. It's useless, us trying to do something that we were meant not to do. But how many of us would say, I'm gonna let Jesus put His yoke on my life, and I'm gonna follow Him, and I'm gonna be tied to Him because His way is better. How many of you believe His way is better? All right, so let's pray about that today. Father, we need You today. Lord, we need Your help because, Lord, in our own minds and our own habits, we tend to gravitate back to the old way. And we tend to try to do things on our own strength and carry things that we were never meant to carry. And so, Lord, I pray that You would forgive us for seeing ourselves that way. Even in one way, being our own God, where we think that we can handle it and do it on our own. Today, Lord, we choose to partner with You. Let You help us carry the yoke that's perfect for us, that You would put on each one of us. So we thank You for that today, Lord. And we want to be mindful of when we try to slip out from under that and fall back into our old way. We don't want to be that way. So help us today. We thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.